It's Friday! Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia! Germany! Africa!
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this 24th day of April 2020. There are only six more days of April remaining. And, well, here we are at the end of the week, even though folks are having a hard time kind of keeping up with the weeks. But we're here to sort of try to keep order about things.
Welcome to Grandpa.
Say it again, Agnes, so that people can actually hear you.
I'm sorry, Bob. Welcome to Groundhog Day.
Rise and shine. It's gonna be cold out there. Rise and shine, campers.
COVID needs to go away. They could say Bob. I love you all.
That's a little frightening. Save Bob. Is this like is this like a gender swap version of The Shining? Oh, great, great, lovely. Let's see. Well, like I said, it's Friday on the front porch, and if you'd like to be part, if you'd like to augment your live listening experience by popping into the chat room, you're more than welcome to do that. Anatole and House of Roberts and Jimmy and Otto and Squeaky are all waiting for you. You'll be capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yes. Every program here begins with gratitude. And so it is today. For this 24th day of the month. Oh, yeah. Thanks going out to our 24th of the month PayPal subscribers. And that means thank yous to Samson and Josh and Pam up in Washington State. Thanks to Chris in Germany for jumping in on the freezer fund. Thank you very kindly indeed. And what since James was so kind to provide a have a week on me earlier, this would be the fifth day of the week or have a week on me. What I think we'll do is we'll try to get started so that we can have a couple of days of fundraising free radio next week. And so the fundraising goal all told is $800. And we'll just we'll plug away on that, and I'll apply what came in to the last night on Billable Rick's freezer challenge. I'll apply that, and we'll maybe, hopefully, get a freezer. And I've had a kind offer for power protection for the freezer, so that the next derecho won't kill it like it killed our old one. And we'll be good to go. So, like I said, Friday on the front porch here in about. Here in about an hour, well, okay, 55 minutes, will gather together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, with Sparky, of course, moderating. And if you'd like to participate in self-isolation on the front porch, which is what this is, then there's a big button you can click at the top of the page at headon.live, and it'll carry you right into the Skype group. And you're mighty welcome to join in. We'd love to see you there. Well, I guess we know what's going to take up our attention today, don't we? Last night, dear Jesus, last night, Corona Caligula, Clorox Claudius, as he has now been named, suggested that people could put a light inside themselves. That's there's a limited number of ways to do that. Reminded me of the, what is it, Men in Black 2, The Light of Zarthon. Did you ever notice that when it rains, you cry? Did you ever wonder if it rains because you cry? Yeah, something like that. Suggestions for suggestions for battling the Rona. Flavio says, I heard if you stick a fork in an electrical socket, that'll kill the Rona. Also, if you drop a toaster in the bathtub, that'll definitely kill the COVID. Yes, it will. Jesus. So with the inject disinfectant, my God, I haven't seen the maggots this active in a while. They're out there swearing up and down, hopping and, you know, scratching at themselves and hooting like barn owls. That and this is so Orwellian. Oh, hi, I'm Bob. This is so Orwellian. Because the maggots are telling us we did not hear him say what we actually, no kidding, heard him say. It's the damnedest thing. I mean, Jesus. Let's recap, even though you don't like hearing him, and I understand why, but let's recap. It was, and by the way, now he says he didn't say it either, or if I did say it, I was being sarcastic, definitely sarcastic. Holy hell. It's hard to say that he ever reaches, you know, like a new low. But this is right up there. This is up there with windmill cancer. This is Covfefe on steroids.
Right, and then I see the disinfectant. It knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see it gets in the lungs and it does a tremendous number of lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me. So we'll see. But the whole concept of the light, the way it kills it in 1 minute, that's pretty powerful.
Still kind of takes my breath away just to hear that madness. Holy crap. But what's kind of odd is last night, one of the stories that I mentioned was of the federal district court in Florida entering a temporary injunction against something called MMS as hustled by the Genesis 2 Church of Health and Wellness, or Health and Well-Being, or something like that. And they were told to quit selling their MMS, which, by the way, is bleach for all intents and purposes, because of how dangerous it is. Bleach is a dangerous, dangerous chemical. The injunction was entered. They say that they can't be enjoined because they're practicing First Amendment religious freedom. And now we come to find out today, because of course, that very self-same Genesis 2 Church of Health and Wellness, which is led by a guy named Mark Grenon, G-R-E-N-O-N. The Guardian reported today, Sandra turned me on to this, Mark Grenon, of course, he's got a radio show, and it's all tax-free, hallelujah. He described his powerful bleaching solution of chlorine dioxide as, quote, a wonderful detox that can kill 99% of the pathogens in the body and can rid the body of COVID-19. Well, we talked about that last night, so what's new, Bob? Well, it turns out, I think we know where he came up with the idea of using disinfectants, injecting them, or whatever. So this past Sunday, on his radio program, Mark Grenon, the Archbishop of Genesis 2, because, well, of course, read the letter that he, Mark Grenon, Archbishop of the Church of Genesis 2, Health and Wellness, or Well-Being, or whatever, Fletcher, Felcher, whatever. And that letter began, "Dear Mr. President, I am praying you read this letter and intervene." MMS, says Brother Deacon Asa, in this case being an acronym for measles, mumps, and stupid. Miracle Mineral Solution. And not only did Archbishop Mark Grenon write to Clorox Claudius, he said that 30 members of his church have written letters to Clorox Claudius imploring him to tell people to use bleach inside themselves. Grenon went on to even say that they've sent some MMS to the White House. You know, if anybody else did that, they'd be arrested. But not Mark Grenon, because religious freedom. Again, when the Wahhabis in Saudi Arabia are more rational than your Christian church is, wow, that's just saying something. Grenon said, "Trump has got the MMS and all the info. Things are happening, folks. Lord, help others to see the truth." Steve in New York says, "MMS, act now and you'll get a free asbestos applicator." But does it come with a free plot and a free coffin? That I don't know. Now, if it doesn't kill you, just in case you're wondering, if it doesn't kill you, MMS can cause nausea, diarrhea, severe dehydration, and that can all, you know, lead to death. The Guardian reached out to the White House to see if they'd received their bleach and whether or not maybe Clorox Claudius was maybe drinking it through a straw and might account for some, no, but nothing came back. Just in case you were wondering, MMS was also peddled by Alan Keyes. Remember him? Republican? Yeah, he's got a hate radio program because, of course, he does. And he has featured this poison on his radio show. And so now, of course, it's sarcasm. But you just heard the clip. He claims he was being sarcastic with a reporter who asked a question. But you can go and you can watch the clips, listen to the clip a million times. You will never, there isn't a particle of sarcasm in what he says as big as a single particle of the coronavirus. Cowbell for Steve, courtesy of Billable Rick. If you order MMS now, you'll get a free asbestos applicator. I'd say, yes, I concur. Huh. The sad thing, says Flavio, you know there are poor souls out there who will inject themselves with disinfectant after COVID Caligula's suggestion. This man needs to be stopped. Yeah, he does. This alone, yesterday, all by itself, could support a responsible vice president getting the cabinet together and declaring the president to be unfit to fulfill the duties of his office under Section 4 of the 25th Amendment. But instead of a responsible vice president, we have a disgusting toady with daddy issues who looks at Trump like daddy. And so even though MMS kills 99% of viruses and bacteria and germs and stuff, it kills 100% of a human being. Not even so much as a nail clipping left alive. Or a nail itself that dies after you clip it, of course. But you get what I mean. Oh, thanks to Otto for jumping in this evening. Appreciate you getting us started, Otto. Thank you very much indeed. Bill in Allentown says, MMS equals mixed martial shit. It tastes just like chocolate. I'll take your word for that, Bill. Lou offers the following advice: how to protect yourself and others from coronavirus. 1. Wash hands often. 2. Avoid touching face. 3. Cough into elbow sleeve. 4th, and most importantly, don't listen to Trump. Cowbell for Lou. You guys are off and running. Looks like it could be a heck of a fun program. And by the way, the economic bailout. Yeah, there it is. According to Vice, there's an advocacy group out there called We Are Golf. and they want a great big honking wad of money from the government. They want the golf courses want welfare. We talked about this briefly last night. But here's the thing. The bailouts would apply to Trump's golf courses in the U.S. too. Jesus. The recent economic downturn has shuttered golf courses across the country and hammered Trump's company, which relies on income from over a dozen golf courses. Trump's golf holdings accounted for roughly half of his reported 2018 income of $440 million, and the crisis is costing his properties an estimated $1 million a day in lost revenue. Trump's flagship properties in Florida announced hundreds of temporary layoffs this month. Would you say that if you take a job, if you go to work for anything owned by Donald Trump, that you ought to at least expect what's bound to happen? In other words, you get fucked. Yeah, well. So there's a proposed rule change out there that would let golf courses apply for loans as small businesses, even if they're owned by an overarching corporation that is definitely not a small business. The grift is on. The hogs are in the tunnel, as Hunter Thompson said, and they will travel on a road of bones. Yes. Oh, what else? Hey, you know what? Prayer meeting Wednesday came and went. Let's check in, because we haven't heard from him in a while. Let's check in with former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson, known mainly as Pat. Marion knows how to get rid, as do all of these divines, apparently. Marion knows how to get rid of the coronavirus. And it's real simple, like. Yes, it absolutely is.
John Pat, who says, Pat, last week you were talking about COVID-19. You quoted Chronicles 7:14. How can God heal our land and forgive the sins when abortion and same-sex marriage are laws and many people are anti-Israel? Doesn't this prevent his healing and forgiveness?
I think you put your finger on something very important. You know, the Bible says it's turned from their wicked ways. It didn't get forgiven. They will turn from their wicked ways. And part of what we've done is turn. We are not turning. We have done terrible things. We have broken the covenant that God made with the mankind. We have violated his covenant. We have taken the life of the innocent, slaughtered them by the tens of millions, children made in the image of God. And we have abused the poor. I mean, we've allowed this terrible plague to spread throughout our society, and it's small wonder God would hold us guilty. But the answer is, you know, you confess your sins and forsake them, then he heals the land. It's not before. You're right. Okay.
So, we've got all the married gay people has to get gay divorces? Is that it? And you know, just stop with all the gay, and then suddenly the coronavirus disappears? What an evil fuck he is. Glory call, Pat. Glory call. Sometimes it's just too much. That's one of them. so that's, and then of course, that's just Marion Robertson. Oh, yeah. Because there's also Billy Graham, or I mean, not Billy, Franklin Graham. He says, I'm not a homophobe. I just don't like, Jesus just don't like gays. That's all. And then with a plague burning up the country and burning around the world, you've got Mike Pompeo, you know, graduated first in his class at West Point. that's the knee slapper of the last couple of years, absolutely. And he says that he's using his office to evangelize other governmental leaders around the world, that he's trying to lead them to Jesus. And it discusses a report from Right Wing Watch by Peter Montgomery about Pompeo being on a conference call for conservative Christian clergy. It was hosted by the Family Research Council, which, of course, is headed by Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates Perkins, who got started with an email list that he bought from the Klan. So Mike Pompeo, first in his class at West Point, told the Family Research Council preachers that he's used his official travels on the government dime as an opportunity to evangelize. I've been unabashed in my role as Secretary of State to talk about the fact that I swore an oath to the Constitution, but that my first calling is to my Savior. And I've made that something that I tell world leaders, whether I'm with President Sisi in Egypt or whomever, whatever faith they may be, or of no faith. Yeah. Jesus. See, he wants Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates Perkins, to get behind him in case, because Mike Pompeo still thinks Jesus has big plans for him. You know, voices in the head and all that stuff. Yeah, right. This really is exposing who these monstrosities are and what their agenda most genuinely is. Take, for instance, Nimrata Haley. When Mitch McConnell said that we should just let states go bankrupt, and that's so true, Brother Deacon Asa says, it's 2020 and all of a sudden the idea of appointing a horse as a senator doesn't seem like such an insane idea. That's a reference to the story, I think, from Suetonius, perhaps, that the Emperor Caligula wanted to appoint a senator, a horse named Incitatus, as a member of the Roman Senate. Now, I don't know why I just elided a story about a horse being a senator and Nikki Haley. That's just the way the universe works. It wasn't intentional, but make of that what you will. But she jumped out and said on Twitter, states should always plan for a rainy day, just like any business. I disagree that states should take Fed money or be bailed out. This will lead to taxpayers paying for mismanagement of poorly run states. States need to tighten up, make some cuts, and manage. Well, there we go. Never mind the fact that South Carolina would largely not exist were it not for a steady stream of infused welfare, courtesy of, you know, we the people, and more particularly states like New York and California. They carry South Carolina, so South Carolina can go on despising them. Nikki Haley took tons of bailout money when she was governor of South Carolina, Stan. You know, hurricanes and whatnot. And the fact that she used the word rainy day, states should always plan for a rainy day just like any business. Well, government's not business, for starters. And rainy day, oh, Nikki, the goddess of irony loves you. She's the one that made you say rainy day, after all. Because it wasn't that long back when Nimrata, on October the 7th, 2015, with massive flooding, that was the year of the massive floods that hammered South Carolina and even even knocked out a football game. She declared at that time, "We're holding our breath and saying a prayer." Yes. States need to plan for a rainy day just like any business. But Nikki, Nimrata, hadn't planned for her rainy day. Holy shit. No shame, no remorse, no sense of propriety, bupkis. Because that's who they are. And another thing that kind of broke today, a story by Politico, says that back in 2012, a real estate partner of Trump got in on a $1 billion with a B dollar refinance dodge for a building at 1290 Avenue of the Americas. Trump owns 30% of that building. And of that $1 billion refi scam, $211 million of it is from the Bank of China, owned by the government of the People's Republic of China. It had never been done in the U.S. before, a big loan from the People's Republic Bank of China. Politico said Trump's ownership of the building received a smattering of attention before and after his 2016 campaign, but the arrangement with the Bank of China and its impending due date in 2022 has largely gone unnoticed. Hunter Biden, the Benghazi of our time. We will hear about Hunter Biden till we're fit to lose our mind. Yeah. Margin call. Wouldn't that be lovely? Oh, and remember when back before he was pitching hydroxychloroquine, which was before he was pitching bleach and, I don't know, an ultraviolet butt plug, there was some talk about a drug called remdesivir, an antiviral by an ironically named, for this day and age, an ironically named company called Gilead. Oh, well, results are in for a clinical trial on remdesivir. The spokesman for the World Health Organization, Tarek Yasarevich, said, a draft document was provided by the authors to WHO and inadvertently posted on the website and taken down as soon as the mistake was noticed. The manuscript is undergoing peer review, and we're waiting for a final version before WHO comments. Now, why would they say something like that? Well, because it turns out that, like everything else that Clorox Claudius has mentioned, suggested, touched upon, it's a bust. Because according to this draft report, remdesivir didn't do, and this is a complicated medical scientific term, remdesivir didn't do dick to either help coronavirus patients get better or even to, you know, keep them from getting all dead. Oops. On the other hand, a spokescreep for Gilead named Amy Flood said, the post included inappropriate characterization of the study. The report doesn't enable statistically meaningful conclusions. Trends in the data suggest a potential benefit for remdesivir, particularly among patients treated early in disease. All of which is probably 200-proof bilge. And all of this because Gilead is running its own study in severe coronavirus patients. But it's kind of sketchy because they don't have a control group. They don't have a group of patients who are getting standard treatment to compare with the people who are getting remdesivir. So just as was the case with that French frauds hydroxychloroquine study, it's not double-blinded. It's not randomized. It's not controlled. On the other hand, the study that showed that it doesn't do dick was randomized and was controlled. Oh, I wonder how many maggots jumped out there and bought them some Gilead stock, if Gilead sells stock. Yeah, that ought to be a little rough on the bottom line here next week, don't you think? Don't offend the horses, says Flavio. Horses are intelligent animals, Bob. Nikki Haley, on the other hand, .. Yeah, the way it is with me, and I mention it to y'all, anytime I see Nikki Haley's name, I think of that fantastic conversation that she had with the Morning Zoo crew from Moscow 99.7, in which they convinced her that they were the president of Poland and got her to talk about the heady topic of relations with an imaginary island nation called Bonomo. Her smart. Quite literally, says Scary Jerry, the death yam is blowing sunshine up our asses, although 50,000 people and a family member, I'm enjoying the hell out of him and his whole administration, and although it cost 50,000 people and a family member, I'm enjoying the hell out of him and his whole administration, and party freak the fuck out as the sky darkens and the chickens come home to roost. I just wish the Democrats would talk more shit, using four letters also. The dry, antiseptic responses are pissing me off. Well, I understand that you want to see them deal out a few right crosses to, punch them in the nose. Make them pay attention. I get that. I think that clip we had last night from Governor Andrew Cuomo got close. And the day before when he said, the cure can't be worse than the disease. The disease is death. What's worse than death? And he definitely has a point. Steve in New York says, can we just admit a few things? The $1,200 is all any of the people who actually make America work, if we get that. Actual small businesses will get nothing. The Fortune 500, top 1%, etc., will get it all. They were always going to get it all. Remember the motto of this program? They want it all. Albert says, Trump needs a 5-gallon enema of that snake oil. It'll remove all the diseased brain cells in his skull. Think it might raise his IQ a few points? Joey with a reminder. Hey, Bob. Last week you forgot to mention Meghan McCain's pregnancy announcement. I just wonder why she waited so long to make the announcement, considering she's been showing for about 2 years now. Ah, now, Joey. No fat shaming on the program, please. Lou observes, thanks to the moron Don depression, I figure I can retire at age 65 as long as I die when I hit age 66. Well, looks like Lou's in the running for the Little Ray of Fucking Sunshine Award this evening. Thank you, Lou. That would be fun. Albert wants Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, graduated first in his class at West Point, you know, to lead a tent revival in either Beijing or Saudi Arabia. Those have potential. Bill, on the other hand, says, Bob, stop telling us where Mike Pompeo graduated first in his class from. You know, eventually I'm not going to be able to say, stop telling us your name's Bob, Bob. Well, Steve is doing his part. He said, I can tell you this, given that my partner and I currently have a long-distance relationship, we haven't gayificated for quite a while. Maybe that's why the spread is slowing now. See how much power y'all have, Steve? And when people like Robertson and Franklin Graham say this ugly shit, ugly, hateful shit, by virtue of our community, I get to find out in something approaching, I get reminded in something approaching real time, the human toll of such evil spewing from the toxic mouths of the Franklin Grahams and the Marion Robertsons of the world. Here's just a little snippet of life from our buddy Matt in San Francisco. Subject line. I can't with these people. My husband is an RN. I am an essential worker overseeing 4 locations providing limited services to several communities in the San Francisco Bay Area. When my husband comes home, he disrobes in the laundry room, throws his scrubs, etc., in the washing machine. I disrobe in a similar fashion so we do not infect ourselves at home. This virus is no joke. People need to stay the fuck home. I understand people have a right to be stupid, but quite frankly, their right to be stupid ends when their stupidity affects my right to fucking live. I'm so tired of the stupidest among us being coddled and deferred to because they happen to have a leader squatting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. People are dying, alone and scared, with their family not even being able to say goodbye. Fuck the economy, fuck these idiots, .. and fuck Trump! Thank you for sharing that, Matt. Thank you for letting folks know a little bit of your and your husband's life. Thanks for making us a little bit of a part of your family. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Lou observing, Democrats complained that Republicans would crucify a self-proclaimed socialist in the general election, implying mainstream Democrats were certain that Republicans would be respectful and restrained if the Democrats would nominate a centrist. Hunter Biden, the Hunter Biden onslaught, the oncoming and ongoing Hunter Biden onslaught, at Lou says, Well, I think I observed on this program that it did not matter who the nominee was. That whoever the nominee is would be deemed a commie, socialist, pinko, radical, bomb thrower, liberal, progressive, even if the nominee in question had once been a Republican. Doesn't matter. They will do they play to keep. And there are no boundaries. There are no rules to constrain their nastiness. Darlene with a note. Amy Flood? Wonder if any relation to Emmett Flood, you know, one of Trump's attorneys and Bill Clinton's as well, when he was impeached, is Emmett's specialty? It seems an unusual last name, which is why I ask. It's an old last name. It's not that uncommon. It wasn't the villain in Treasure Island, Captain Flood? Or, well, I mean, along with Long John Silver. Interesting observation, because there does seem to be there's a lot of log rolling goes on in D.C. and in the corporate world generally. A lot. Well, hell's bells, says Steve in New York. States by return on taxpayer investment. Look who's number one at the ratio of getting money from the feds versus what they pay. South Carolina. Way out in front. They draw almost $8 for every dollar paid in. Then comes North Dakota, Florida, Louisiana, Alabama, Hawaii, Mississippi, Kentucky. Ah, there we are. West Virginia, which gets a little over $2 for every dollar we put in. You have to go all the way down to California before you get negative returns. California, Massachusetts, Wyoming, Oklahoma, New Jersey, Utah, Colorado, New York, Kansas, Ohio, Nebraska, Illinois, Minnesota, and Delaware all get less than they put in. South Carolina, the welfare state. Silent R. Lamar says, oh yeah, preach on, hail Trump, free America. Dear Trump supporters, believe us now, Your hail leader Trump wants you dead. Why would he ask you to commit suicide? Just remember, dead people tell no tales. Long live America without Trumpets. Clorox, says Scott in San Diego. Who knew? Get the new family size today, original liquid or new tropical flavored. Also available in wipes, chewables, and suppositories. And there we go. With the suppository reference, well, no, I mentioned an ultraviolet butt plug earlier. So, yeah, I'd say we're taking the program into the gutter pretty quickly. Yeah. Dear me, dear me. Real nice group gathered in the chat room if you want to pop by. Roger's come along, and so has Original Sailor Chick. Jimmy's there. E. Floyd. Nice group going on. And let me do this real quick. Because we've got to get fired up with the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Got a good group gathered there, too. And I'll be joining momentarily, I hope. And we are often started on finishing the month and, you know, and the freezer fund. Let's see here. I've got thank yous to send. I mentioned Chris jumping in. Sailor Chick says, "Hi, Bob. Have a bleach teeny on me." That's, wait a minute. Bleach teeny. Yeah. And thank you to Jeremy in Vermont for jumping in. We are well on our way. And that's very good news. Lady B with a note. States that get more than they put in, and yet the citizens of those states have crappy or no social programs. Who the fuck in y'all's red states are y'all voting for? Why would you vote against your own best interests? Has the money trickled down yet? Nah, it never does. But the problem, Lady B, is that what we think are their best interests are not what they think their best interests are. We, being rational people, would think that having a decent job, a decent home, a chance at a fairly dignified retirement, being able to go to the doctor when you're sick. We define those as their best interests because we understand them to be our best interests. You know, that whole we the people, common good, promoting the general welfare, you know. But they don't see it that way. A maggot's best interest, and before that, your tea baggers and your southern redneck Republicans, they define their best interests as making sure all the little fetuses is all right and having lots of goons. Gotta have guns or you ain't got no freedom. And having small government and making sure we pray at school every day and before the football games and the basketball games and giving money, giving taxpayer money to churches and trying to take apart them government schools. Those are their best interests. We know it's not, but it matters little because they are convinced that they are. And then there's the matter, the separate topic, of Dr. Birx. David in South Carolina stands, says Dr. Birx defended Clorox Claudius's Dahmer-esque medical recommendations, but she got new knee pads to match her scarf. The video of her, and this is a radio program, so not a lot of help there, but the video of her watching him say what he was saying, a shadow crossed her face. You could see individual portions of her face in her cheekbones, and it just sag. But, and this is the important part, she remained silent at a time when anything resembling a love of country demanded that she speak up. But instead, she let some other scientist come up and say, no, we won't be testing any of that shit. Didn't say shit, but you know, same. Damn. So I had some respect for her at one point in time. I figured that since she had worked inside the Obama administration, she had to have some redeeming credentials. But it seems fairly apparent that, well, she doesn't. Where else could Nitwit Nero have come up with the idea of injecting disinfectants? Well, Jude in the Great Northwest directs us to a person by the name of Rashid Buttar. He's an osteopathic physician from Charlotte, North Carolina. He's a big fan of chelation therapy. He uses it on autistic people. He came to public attention in 2009 when he used chelation therapy on a woman named Desiree Jennings, who claimed to have lost her ability to walk or talk normally after receiving a flu shot. He's been criticized for his use of chelation and, wait for it, for his use of intravenous hydrogen peroxide to treat cancer. And he is a maggot. Most recently, he has become infamous again for a video in which he said that Dr. Anthony Fauci, that his research was used to create COVID-19. He's a myhopper, made it happen. And that video has, of course, had millions upon millions of views on YouTube. Because YouTube doesn't give a fuck. Hell no. Long as the money rolls, I'll keep an eye out for his name. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. True, Flavio. All too true. As to Dr. Birx, a Latin maxim, qui tacet consentire videtur. Silence equals consent. In moments of challenge, at crux, when you see evil and say nothing, you become, well, complicit in it. Lady B following up says, okay, so we've established that their behavior, the maggots, is counterintuitive and counterproductive. Why do they still have such an outsized influence on our country's politics? Because it has been that way from the very beginning. It was designed. The Constitution was drafted to provide them with an outsized influence on the politics of the Republic. The Three-Fifths Clause in the Constitution was to make sure that the South could play bully boy in the House of Representatives. And then giving each state two senators meant that they could do the same in the Senate. You know, two senators regardless of population. Which is how you wind up with a situation where cattle in Wyoming have more representation than 20-plus million human beings in California. It's not a flaw. It's a feature. These were principles that the drafters of the Constitution and the framers of the Constitution gave in order to get it ratified, because they were desperate to get rid of the Articles of Confederation. Make sense? I mean, we can go into it more deeply, but that's the thumbnail version. And Irish Dave pointing out, come on, Bob, don't you recall that welfare was only for the deserving poor, according to Ray Ray? Clearly them welfare states are real poor. By the way, if y'all want to kill the COVID-19, you could get some chlorine bleach in a big pie pan filled with Comet cleanse and inhale deeply the fumes when you pour the bleach into the pan and the host dies. Easy peasy, huh? Irish Dave is being sarcastic. It's obvious. It's as obvious that Irish Dave is being sarcastic as it was obvious that Trump yesterday evening was not. As to Dr. Birx, Darlene says, I have to be honest, I'm no fan of Dr. Birx, but although I don't agree with how she's handling this, she is a stately and distinguished woman and a goddamn doctor working with a total fuckwit for a president. I'm tired of hearing a few of your male listeners making those remarks about her scarves and the knee pads. Pisses me off to no end to reduce her to a sexual object. How is that any different than calling her a bitch or the C word? I would ask that those listeners knock it off. Again, I'm no fan of Dr. Birx, but if a man was doing what she's doing, I doubt those kinds of sexual or slut innuendos would even be made. Tell me what man in his administration is standing up to him outside of maybe Dr. Fauci. They're all doing the same thing as she is. Again, women are judged far more harshly. This is a prime example. And I think you're right. I should not have shared the knee pads comment. And for that, I apologize. To be fair, though, I think I have described questions in which I wondered how someone could even talk with, about a guy, this about a male member, not that kind of member, of the maggot regime, how he could actually talk with Trump's tiny testicles resting on his chin. So at least I've been equal opportunity in it. But the fact of the matter is, and no sexual innuendo intended at all, one of the central problems to all of this is that his entire administration spends its time on its knees. And I don't mean that sexually. I mean that they are supplicants. I mean that they fawn. I mean that they lick his boots and kiss his little orange toes. They bow, they scrape, they kowtow. And they treat him, you know, I refer to him from time to time as a god, as the maggot's god emperor. And that is how they treat him. They treat him with an unwarranted degree of deference. So if you hear me say anything about anybody being on their knees, as far as he's concerned, that's largely what I mean. And it's not just his administration. The fawning of some members of the multimillionaire media are equally obsequious. You've heard time after time after time, seen on social media, whatever, people saying, God damn it, it is time to stop carrying his shit show. Well, enter Chuck Todd. Enter millionaire Chuck Todd. On MSNBC, having played put the light inside, inject the disinfectant, Chuck Todd said, there isn't much else to say, you just saw it, because there's perhaps no better of an indictment of the president's handling of this crisis than just hearing him suggest that ingesting disinfectant could treat the virus, and then hearing him claim that he didn't say what we just heard him say. And I know what some of you might be thinking in this moment. Why would we air the president live today after all of this? Because we think that letting you see the president unfiltered in the moment, he's the American, he's the elected president, especially during a national crisis like this one. At the moment, it's simply put, a very important thing for Americans to see right now. And curiously, that's an argument that I have made here. Y'all despise him. You can't stand the sound of his voice. And yet I have said that we have an obligation to be witnesses to history. Imagine if that had not been carried live yesterday. And they had reported it. But there hadn't been any, there was no video to document it. Well, when he said he was being sarcastic, kind of would have had to take him at his word. So for once, I at least understand what Chuck Todd is trying to say. But of course, the problem with Chuck Todd is that he has admitted to being a simpleton who just lets these maggots lie on his air. Because he, too, is a supplicant. And he is entirely dependent upon, access. I don't care who you are, if you're working in that industry, access is the coin of the realm. Flavio says, when faced with evil and you say nothing, you are complicit in that evil. To see all those erstwhile honorable people lose their tongue is unnerving as well as profoundly sad. What you saw was the precise moment Dr. Birx lost her soul. Jeremy in Vermont says, I'm going to infringe on your gimmick and be a little fucking ray of sunshine. Trump spoke the truth back to back. I'm not a doctor, and I don't know if it will or won't work. And then there's the question of sarcasm. Let's take him at his word. He was being sarcastic. What kind of misanthropic miscreant does sarcasm over a pandemic when he is the president of the United States of America and his country is on fire? I think it's a fair question. Oh, and by the way, just to check the numbers before we go over to the old holler tree. Worldwide total confirmed cases that we know of, in other words, the number is higher, 2,790,986. Almost a third of them are in the United States alone. Probably in the coming week, the death toll in the United States from this disease will surpass the deaths from Vietnam. What kind of monument will we build on the Mall for this? Will it be a giant statue of Trump with a golf club in his hand? And the names of all the dead etched into the plinth? Will we have to build a new cenotaph to the unknown dead of the Trump pandemic? God, God, God. Death toll in New York City stands at 16,646. Let's run over to the old holler tree where Sparky is keeping things in line. Let's see what's going on. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, I'm zoning out here.
Are you?
Watching the magpies, and then I'm watching the clouds over me.
Sounds like a little bit of a windy day.
Well, you can hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A few minutes ago, I had a buzzer just soaring around and around right outside.
Just riding the thermals.
Yeah. It's amazing how long they can just go without flapping their wings.
Wow. So, is the shit show on?
I'm not checking today.
Probably a good policy.
I usually click on YouTube and put something on there, and then I'll just watch who comes up and talks, but I don't listen to Trump. When I saw that new face yesterday, that guy from the bioweapons lab, who had charts and graphs and about how long the coast lives when it's exposed to UV light and sunlight. And of course, the natural question was, this summer, will it kill it off? And then he had to go into porous and non-porous surfaces. And like if you were in a playground, if you touched one side of the slide where the sun hits and then, you know, it's really hot, but the other side of the slide isn't hot enough to and they're not exposed to the sunlight that the virus could live.
Well, so that explains his fascination, his newfound fascination with ultraviolet light, right?
Correct. But that's that damn bioweapons lab that's in Maryland or somewhere.
Yeah, Fort Detrick.
Yeah, because they got a super, super secure laboratory where they keep all the exotic germs and everything.
Right, that's the lab that that became infamous back during the anthrax scare in 2001.
Yeah. Anyway, this I was the head of that. So at least he didn't do anything to contradict Trump, so he's not afraid of he's going to get fired.
He's safe for the moment.
Anybody else? Goes against him. Oh, I don't know the guy.
Never heard of him. Hydroxy what? Never heard of it.
Oh, there was a deal that showed how they just were talking about that on Fox for days and days, and then all of a sudden they stopped talking about it.
Oh, it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. And on another subject, what did you think of the rainbow the Iranians got?
You dropped out there, Sparky.
What did you think of those flying boats? Did you watch that video?
Yeah, I did.
Those suckers can carry missiles, according to what I read on Wikipedia. Oh, man, there's three vultures now. It's kind of a nature day.
Now, you said buzzard earlier, and now you say vulture.
Vulture, buzzard.
I mean, they're not, but taxonomically, they're not the same thing, are they?
I don't know. They're turkey vultures. But some people refer to them as buzzards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this way they're turkey buzzards.
Yeah. They look so nice flying, but when they're on the ground, they're the ugliest looking bird.
They play a vital role in nature, but my God, have you ever been in the woods and come up on a roost?
Something been eaten on?
No, it's awful.
I told you one about the buzzard. I shot a gopher out here, and he just went right back down the hole. The vulture landed there, could smell it, dug the damn thing up, pulled it out.
Well, I guess there may not be a shit show this evening. I wonder why that might be. Because he doesn't want to answer questions about bleach therapy.
According to Nancy, it's over.
What do you mean? They've already had it?
Yeah, according to Nancy in the chat room, yeah, it's already ended.
Oh, okay. When you said Nancy, I thought you meant Pelosi, Steve.
I was referring to her friend.
I had.
Hey, Scott.
I had. Hi, baby. What you doing? I had. I had MSNBC on when I was first beginning to stir, and as soon as he came on, I just switched it to the cartoon channel for something edifying, you know. And now I switch back a half hour later, and there's regular programming.
I found myself last night in need of a good old-fashioned belly laugh. And toward that end, I tweeted out one of my all-time favorite Warner Brothers cartoon clips. Namely, let me see if I can get it loaded here. There it is. Yep. Just a sec.
Working.
Wait, don't you even know a rabbit when you see one? It's true, Doc. I'm a rabbit, all right. Would you like to shoot me now or wait till you get home? Shoot him now! Shoot him now! You keep out of this. He doesn't have to shoot you now. He does so have to shoot me now. I demand that you shoot me now. Let's run through that again. Okay. Would you like to shoot me now or wait till you get home? Shoot him now. Shoot him now. You keep out of this. He doesn't have to shoot you now. Ha! That's it. Hold it right there. Pronoun trouble.
Yes.
It's not he doesn't have to shoot you now. It's he doesn't have to shoot me now. Well, I think he does have to shoot me now. So shoot me now. No, you don't.
Not
again. Sorry. This time, we'll try it from the other end. Look, you're a hunter, right?
White.
And this is rabbit season, right?
White.
And if he was your rabbit, what would you do? Yeah, you're so smart. If I was a rabbit, what would you do?
Well, I'd...
Not again.
Nothing like it. One of the great slapstick routines, I don't care, animated, live action, of all time. Shoot me, shoot him now, shoot him now.
The plaintive, not again.
That and the first time when he sticks his tongue out of his beak. Nyeh. Beautiful.
I can't remember. Is that there's one similar routine where there's shooting, strange shooting, repetitive going on, and the butt actually droops down or falls off of one of the characters. I can't remember which cartoon that is. That just never gets old.
It has a sort of cleansing quality to it.
I found that to be true with music. And a case in point, after last night's stellar performance of Madness and just bull, he's the human embodiment of that old saying, if you can't blind them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit. And after that epic performance, they ought to come up with a category of awards in the television industry for this. I don't know what they'd name the category. Shit you won't believe, and the winner is, may I have the envelope, please? But after watching it last night, I needed relief, and I needed it in a big, big way. So I fired up the Amazon Music Unlimited app and listened to just a string of my favorite songs of all sorts for about an hour.
From that highly esoteric playlist, yes.
Oh, yes. And after about an hour, even after about 15 or 20 minutes, it was as if the rest of the world and the virus and the masks and everything just melted away. And I don't look at it as escapism. I look at it as self-preservation. The whole idea of this deal is to live through it and hopefully into a better world. And I don't mean heaven or the great beyond. I mean, once this is through, and it'll be through in some form at some point, and those of us who remain upright and above ground, hopefully will take the lessons of this and avoid the same thing happening later, and certainly will apply these lessons politically in the short term, come November, if there are elections to be had. But I'm telling you, music will soothe not only the savage beast, but the bullshit. Try it, folks, and see if I'm not telling you the straight dope.
Well, I just had a note from Tom in sunny San Rafael. Subject line, turkey vultures. Here we go. The only bird I've ever seen that can glide without a flap is an albatross. Amazing. They can go for over an hour just following the waves. How cool. Of course, an albatross is a name for being put upon. Doesn't the albatross figure rather prominently in Coleridge's Rime of the Ancient Mariner? I think so. And to have an albatross about one's neck,
yes,
is to be burdened with one's own ill fortune. That's about it, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, President Albatross.
Yes. I think it's more like just a burden or some sort of, it's like having a millstone around your neck. You know, this is keeping me from doing whatever.
Right.
You know, can I say something real quick? Then sure. I'm going to mainly shut up. You know, I'm a statistical math nerd. And a couple things. I was looking at calculations, you know, all the turds on the right have been talking about this is only going to, you know, the flu was only, you know, 61,000 deaths last year, yada, yada, yada. And I happened to look at that. And what did I find? But the flu season was 62,000 deaths. In the latest 2019 to 2020 flu season. Okay, fine. That's horrible and tragic and shitty. So I started looking at some of the numbers that we're dealing with here with COVID. And what did I find? COVID, so far we've had 50,000. We'll have 60,000 after 6 weeks. I think that'll wait a minute. 60,000. Wait, that's 60,000 deaths after 6 weeks. Okay. We extrapolate that obviously over a year. That is 520,000 deaths.
Yeah.
And that is at current rates, which means that hasn't taken into account the stuff that the stupid states are starting to do.
Right. That's sort of a baseline number.
That's a best case scenario.
But meanwhile, the maggots, flu season is what? September, October? October, November, December, January, February, March, 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
So that's 10,000 a month. We're past that by orders of magnitude.
But let's just say it's a year. And so we can, because we don't, you know, let's just say it's a year for purposes of comparison, because we can't really say that there is a COVID season, so to speak.
No, that's why it's a pandemic.
Yeah, what? Exactly. But I have to say there's something else that it's weird. I look at this way different than a lot of people do. I don't look at the models that come out as anything more than – it's almost like a fuel gauge, so to speak, that if all things being equal, if you continue at this speed, this is what will probably happen in a car. I don't look at those models and the figures going up and down – it doesn't strike me as, I don't know, maybe it's just kind of, I've become rather sterile or stoic at looking at them. I don't find it necessarily a negative. I look at that, the numbers less about look at the infections as, and that's bad, which is obviously it is, but I look at it as these are now people we have identified where we can treat, where we can track, and where we can, and helps us to act. And I'll give you a perfect example. I track the New York numbers every day. And I look at several different things. I look at the increases every day, and I look at the 5-day running average. And I started looking at another statistic because I noticed that today there was it went up. The number of reported cases was 271,590, which is an 8,100 increase. Yesterday was a 6,244 increase over the previous day, which is a running average that's tweaked up from 5,346 over the last 5 days to 5,761. And I think, you know, I look at a graph here and I'm thinking, okay, the trend is still, downward a lot from where it was just about a week ago, where it was up over 11, 12,000 cases a day. And in fact, on the 15th of April, it was, 11,571 in a single day. So the trend line for the running average is trending down. But I couldn't help but, and again, this is probably my finance background, is that in looking at financial statements, you can't just look at a given number and why, number X went from A to B and say, oh, that's bad, without looking at other documents and saying what is the reason for that, and is it necessarily a bad thing? And what I looked at was New York has been ramping up testing. And on April 21st, the number of new tests was – wait, number on April 19th, the number of new tests was 21,000. Then that went down to 16,000 on April 20th, 15,500 on April 21st. And then it started going back up April 22nd, 20,000, 21,000 about. April 23rd, 26,000 about, and today, almost 35,000 tests. So I looked at that uptick from the new infections today and looked at that and said, well, what did I see but the new positives based upon the number of tests is about the same. Or actually, it's not that much different. And I'm looking at this and saying, forgot what I was going to say. What I'm seeing is the new cases per test is continuing to go down, and it was less than 1% for a few days. Now it's a little more than 1%. The bottom line is it's right around 1%. And given there was a lot more tests, that explains the uptick. So what's my point here? Is that you can't look at a graph. You can't look at a projection in and of itself. You've got to look at a whole bunch of things.
And it has to be viewed in its overarching universe.
Absolutely. And what this tells me is a couple things. One very obvious thing is that testing is everything. Number one. Number two, in the places that are testing at a decent rate, just because the fact that you're getting more per day is more of a quote unquote positive because you're identifying those people rather than it's, oh God, the infections are going up. We know one thing is that infections are going up every day, whether or not we know about it. the key here is the knowledge of knowing about it. You know, and I will say this as an aside, New York right now is testing at a rate far greater than what, you know, South Korea is looked at as like the model, but the, New York is testing at a rate that, if I remember right, it's two or three times what South Korea did, which is frankly why, you know, New York has, you know, done the job it's done. I think, in fact, New York, which is a state with less than, you know, I think it's less, well less than half the population of California, but has tested far more people than California has. In fact, New York City just opened up a number of free testing sites for people to get tested for antibodies.
Yeah, that's what Bill Ulrich and I were talking about last night.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't hear last night. I left work really late. So in one sense, I'm somewhat encouraged by certain places that as you and I have spoken about, and I've spoken about on here, what really concerns me is, you know, Georgia, I have to tell you, and it could be, or probably is, because my dad, my stepmom live there, my brother and his wife and my niece and my nephew live there, where I pay particularly close attention to that. But that really scares me. And what really scares me is you have a dumbass like Kemp who seems, I think he's dumber than Trump, but he's not as crazy. That's what concerns me. And I keep remembering, and I don't know if I said anything, my dad texted me the other day. He says, you know, I'm 72. Does this mean I have to stay in my house until there's a vaccine? And I told him, I said, doesn't mean stay in your house, but it means stay around home. And when you go out, mask time. And just, you can't, you know, my dad and stepmom they love to go out to eat. You know, and I said, you're not going to you can't go out to eat like you used to. But, you know, and I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost Pollyanna-ish, but I look at all of this and I don't have the sense of doom that a lot of people seem to have. You know,
Steve, if it offers you any comfort, there's a lot of backlash that Kemp is catching.
That's what I've heard.
You know, even his own are turning on him, man. I mean, even Jad Ham's Doug Collins, this is behind the scenes, they're feuding. And even Trump threw him under the bus, you know, after he told him, oh, go ahead, sounds like a good idea. Threw him under the bus on two different occasions.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and I know from, you know, I walk a mile a day, and it used to be people would look at me like I had three heads. Now when somebody passes me, everybody's giving me the thumbs up. So I think it may have been a wake-up call, if you want to take any comfort in that. Of course, demographically, I'm way up in the sticks and I'm far removed from the action. But it doesn't matter. You know, this thing traveled all the way to Wuhan. No matter where you're at, this ought to scare the shit out of you. It doesn't matter.
Isn't the problem with Georgia the fact that Georgia doesn't have any money for unemployment insurance, and that's what they're doing? They're doing this right-to-work crap.
This has nothing to do with the progress of the disease. This has to do with Southern states always and forever being committed to the idea of we do nothing for the people.
That's right. Sounds like it.
And that's fine with Republicans because they call that small government. Well, we got to have small government. And, you know, small government will let you die and rot in your own home.
You know, and you know, something else, too, is, and I think and what I'm hoping happens is, and I know that will happen in New York, is even when I think probably by mid-May, we're still under this pause, as Cuomo calls it, till mid-May. But I think after that, they're going to try and see what happens. But even when they start to open things up, and I suspect this is to a certain extent in Georgia, people aren't just going to rush out. I can tell you, even if the bars and restaurants that I normally went to are even open, and I suspect what will happen is in New York, what they'll do is it'll be, number one, the hours, you won't be able to stay open from 11 till 4 in the morning. It'll be 11 till 9 or 10 or earlier. I don't know. And the requirement will be that all employees at the bar slash restaurant slash whatever have to wear gloves. All of them have to wear masks. It could very well be that if you order food, it'll have to, you know, they'll put the food down somewhere and you'll have to come get it to maintain the distancing.
Well, that's largely what it's like here.
Yeah.
You call ahead, you pay with your credit card or your debit card or whatever, plastic. So nobody's swapping money. That helps.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you be here in 30 minutes and they ask you what kind of car you're driving. And you pull up 30 minutes later, and they come out, and they hand the food to you in your car, and you go away.
Yeah. Well, I think even when they open up here, everyone, if you go into a restaurant, the restaurant was going to be required to have their people wearing everything, and they're going to require everybody who walks in to be wearing masks. And I talked to somebody who's like, well, how am I going to eat? I said, you pull your mask down, you take a bite, and put it back up. That's what you do.
You take it home and take the mask off.
Yeah, or you do that. And you know, and there's something else I wanted to tell you. I think I sent this to you, Bob. Sometimes I just don't remember what I do and don't do. But there was a discussion you had, I think, with Tracy about spraying packages and what you can touch and can't touch at the grocery and all this kind of stuff. Sam Cedar on Ring of Fire it's normally on the paid portion of the podcast, but he opened it up for everybody, had a really great conversation with an epidemiologist who talked exactly about that stuff and said what's necessary, what's not necessary, what you should do, what you need to do. And the guy also talked about the importance of the social distancing and the masks. And he also talks some stuff in there about, you know, they thought the 6 feet because they thought it was only aerosolized, and they're thinking that, then they're not sure, but you're thinking that it can actually doesn't need to like travel on a drop of spit that can actually float through the air, at least for a some distance. But I would commend, and I know we're not supposed to, you know, talk about other podcasts and stuff like that on here, but Sam had a really good discussion with that guy. He was an epidemiologist from New Orleans. And I would urge people to try to find that, because it has answers to a lot of the questions Bob and Tracy were talking about.
Somebody saying my name in vain?
No, not in vain.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Did you hear all what I said about the?
No. I was just listening. I'm just messing with you.
Okay. No. It's cool. I didn't know if you had gotten in before I mentioned the podcast, but it was very, very useful. It was really, really good. I mean, I think Steve from Georgistan listens to Sam periodically. I actually generally think his programs are pretty good. There's like a couple people that are pretty good. Bob is good.
Thank you.
Malloy is good. I put Sam up there as pretty good as too.
Sam's a pro.
Yeah.
I've got a question.
And Sam's stuff is pretty high. I find Sam's stuff to be pretty highbrow, which is, you know, like the shit we talk about here. It's just, most of the time until we get into the, you know, when we get into the gutter,
we jump with both feet.
So. Oh, we jump with both feet and we dive. Yeah.
Sam has the funniest videos on Fox and Friends. He does a critique of them and it's great.
Oh my God. Did anyone see this nutball where Anderson Cooper had this interview with the mayor of
Las Vegas?
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. The mob lawyer's wife.
Can I just tell you?
Oh, okay.
I was like, I saw that and I thought, I think she even surpassed Trump stupid. I just couldn't believe,
pre-blitz. Yeah, with not nearly the entertainment value of Miss South Carolina USA, with the maps and such as Iraq.
Well, did not just Trump stupid, but she had a degree of self-certainty that no matter what Anderson Cooper did or said, including taking off his glasses and putting his head in his hands for a moment.
Or repeating words that she had just said. He said, you just said this. Oh, I wasn't saying. You're putting words in my mouth. And I thought,
exactly.
No, the words came out of your mouth.
She's Oscar Goodman's wife. Because he also used to be the mayor, as I recall, the mob lawyer. He's in Casino. He was an actor there for a while.
That's funny.
Oh, really?
But you got to watch that. If you haven't seen that interview, you got to watch it.
Ralph tells me that's the April 3rd episode.
Well, she made that comment that, well, we'll open up the casinos, and says, well, how do you practice social distancing? She said, well, that's their problem. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
All legislative.
I also loved her statement that she wasn't going to go because she had a family.
Yeah, she had a family.
I guess it's only for single people then to go to the casino and die.
She said he asked her about her offering the people of Las Vegas up as the control group. And she didn't deny it. She says, well, yeah, I said that, but they wouldn't let me do it. And I thought, oh, geez, are you fucking kidding me?
How the fuck did she get elected mayor is what I want to know.
Oh, well, the same way Trump got, I mean, are you serious?
Well, there you go.
She's like 80 years old, I heard. She's like way up there in age.
Yeah, she's
white privilege.
Rick, the voting machines in Vegas have cherries and watermelons and sevens on them.
Yeah, you can easily
fooled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pulling on
a voter in Vegas.
I guess the voting machine scored 3 lemons when she got elected, right?
At least, yeah.
Hell, has anybody ever visited Nevada? It's like the most depressing state. There's nothing there. It's just gambling in these isolated towns. The people, they all look like they're zombies. You know, I traveled down there and I went through there. I mean, I like the northern part of Nevada. What's that? Yeah,
it's Reno. Reno and Tahoe.
It's near Tahoe, yeah. But I mean, as you go south, it's just like this wasteland.
Yeah, it is a wasteland. It's depressing. That's why they built casinos there.
I was going to say Virginia City outside of Reno is a neat little town, and some of my ancestors came from that neck of the woods. And yeah, they got casinos in that, but Virginia City is a beautiful little town. Don't knock it.
Yeah, you know, I've been there. I travel through there. I like the California Nevada border, that whole area, Reno, and kind of that northwest corner. I love, you know, North California, which is just totally beautiful. So that's the area to be, like Tahoe and into Reno. But I just couldn't believe how bleak it all was. I was down there in 1998-99, I think.
Sparky and I would both argue that the Reno-Tahoe area is central California, however.
Well, South Shore has got the big casinos, but the rest of it's pretty nice.
So did anybody – hey, Sparky and my older California residents, did you guys hear the announcement that Newsom made about local restaurants feeding seniors?
No, I didn't hear. Yeah. What are they going to do?
So basically, the program is basically, I put the link into it. They haven't, they just announced it today, but they're still working on how it's going to be implemented. But basically, what's going to happen is it's a twofold program. Well, three, actually. They're trying to work with local farmers, local restaurants, and in order to feed senior citizens.
Good.
And it's a delivery program as well. So,
are you ready for this?
I wasn't finished talking about it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead, by all means.
No, it's just so if you meet certain income guidelines, basically you get three meals a day. To like, you have an allotment of like $13 for breakfast, $17 I think for lunch, and like $20-something for dinner, and for a total of $66 a day. And the state will reimburse you. So I don't know exactly how they're working out the payment stuff, but yeah, I was just like, dude, that's awesome. I mean, if you meet those guidelines and they're partnering with, are you ready for this? With FEMA. FEMA is actually
paying.
Yeah, I was shocked. Kimba. FEMA is actually paying like 75% of it or something like that. But yeah, I've been searching all day to see, you know, to get some information about it, because I was listening to his address, his daily address at noon, and they finally put stuff up on it on the webs on the internet. So, you know, like I said, I put the link up there. It's COVID-19.com. That's COVID-19.ca.gov. And they have more information, but you can dial like 211, and that'll give you the information for in your whatever county that you live in. So, but they might, Sparky. I mean, you know, they're trying to get especially seniors in out of the way areas. So, yeah, they're really going to be working with this. And I think it's an amazing program if you're going to, you know, saving especially the local restaurants. But there, of course, there has to be nutritional guidelines. So obviously McDonald's will not be part of this. So it's like, you know, healthy, low sodium meals and stuff like that.
Well, I just Tracy, this might
be a place for you to use your cab.
Well, actually, that you said that they did send out a email yesterday or the day before, because there is another program. It's a food delivery program that I just read about. Also, that's L.A. County. Well, it was also throughout California. And it's another one that are delivering essential stuff like food and household products and stuff like that. Two seniors and stuff like that, and they are using cabs. I just haven't signed up for it yet because I'm waiting to see how it's going to be fully implemented and what my exposure rate is and exactly what's going to be done, because I would love to do it, but I do live with somebody that's 66 years old. So, you know, I have to be very careful about where, you know, what I can be exposed to.
Well, what I was gonna say a moment ago is that I just had a note from Shorty in L.A., and she notes that the L.A. mayor announced food for the disabled and seniors also.
Right. And I actually, now here's the thing, I'm disabled, so I actually qualify for that. So that part, because, you know, I meet the income guidelines and stuff like that, because as of yet, because California, they still haven't released any money yet for unemployment for self-employed people. As apparently that program is not going to become in effect until the 28th. And so hopefully, as of the 28th, we'll actually start getting money, because I haven't worked since March. So that part is scary.
I've got some good news for you, Tracy, maybe.
What?
Do you, I found this out by accident last night at Vaughn's.
Okay.
I get a minimal amount, because of my income, a minimal amount of monthly SNAP benefits. CalFresh, food stamps on the card.
Yeah, I'm actually eligible for those too, but I would get like $50 a month.
Not anymore. If you are a family of X number of people, pick a number between 1 through 7, they have recently done away with the monthly limits that would decrease what you would ordinarily get if you had no income. So I went from $16 in benefits to the full amount minus the $16 that I already get. And I think in the case of a one-person family is $198.
So, really?
So I am at the checkout store and what I was doing was I had X number of dollars in cash, I had X number on my debit card, and I had X number on my food stamp card. And I was going to put part of the order on the food stamp card and part of the order on, you know, cash and debit, because it's the end of the month, doing that dance. The guy said, well, it's all covered by the food stamp card. And, you know, they print your balance on the receipt. Unbeknownst to me, they had added $177 or something to my pending, you know, my available benefits. So check really? Your balance. Yes, definitely.
No, I only thing I've ever gotten from the county, I have never gotten the SNAP benefits because I just didn't feel like, I just was making, you know, even though I'm eligible for it, for what they take through, I'm like, I'm not going to go through all that. But now.
We'll call them. Call them.
I just may because this is just, I don't like how this is making me feel. I have been in, again, we're doing better than a whole lot of people. But, you know, Jan is the only one that has any income other than my Social Security. But that's, you know, and then there's Alex. So,
well, and this is national. This is not just California people. Anybody in the country within the sound of my voice who receives food benefits through SNAP, Supplemental Nutritional Something Program, call the number on the back of your card and check your balance after the show, because I think you'll be happily surprised. So that's all I got.
Has anyone here gotten their stimulus check of 1,200 big fat U.S. dollars?
No, I was wrong. So I went online because I'm like, you know, because at one point they said if you're getting at, you know, Social Security retirement or SSDI, then the money will automatically be, even if you don't get refunds, the money will automatically be put into your checking account so I was sitting here waiting around for that. Nope, that's not the case. So what it is, I actually went onto the website that is called, you know, looking, you know, to check the status of the stimulus. I have now renamed that to where the fuck is my money.com.
Ralph's
just said she got hers.
Well, I still haven't gotten mine. And so apparently it looks like mine's supposed to, it's the proverbial, the check is in the fucking mail. So according to the where you check where the status of your stimulus check, apparently, allegedly, it's supposed to be mailed out today. Yeah, I'm not holding my breath.
Oh, man. Snail mail.
Well, I wish they were clearer on the time frame and how long it's going to take. Because I know they can't do it on a single day because there's like 60-some Social Security beneficiaries. And then you add to that the rest of the population who's supposed to be getting it. And some people will get it on their card, on their bank account, automatic deposit. And others will get a paper check later. But nobody seems to know the time frame or the plan of when this is going to unfold.
But this $1,200 is still a slap in the face. Canada is offering $2,000 a month for 3 months, you know, for people in that income class that make under.
Exactly. And you've heard Mitch McConnell doesn't want to do another $1,200 taste for just plain folks. He didn't want to do the first one, I don't think.
Yeah, he and his Russian money.
Smarmy motherfucker.
Yeah, Jeremy said he got his and by electronic transfer. Had it for 2 weeks via bank wire. And by the way, Jeremy jumped in on the fund and said, let me find the note. Refrigerator fund. Let's do this, Horn family. So thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy's jumped in twice. Thank you so much. That's huge. That it is. And so at this point, with what Billable Rick did last night and got people started on what we've done so far today, we know we've got at least one more day of fundraising free radio. That'll be the 30th, and we'll work backwards from there. So thank you, everybody who's jumped in. Thank you very kindly.
Back to the check. I know I got electronic deposit a while back, but I don't know whether it was because I'm a Social Security recipient or because we filed our tax returns with send the refund direct to our bank account. But we got ours 3 or 4 days ago. But as far as paper checks, I've got no idea.
Well, like I forget the name of the link, but I have renamed it to Where the Fuck Is My Money? And I went in there, put in my information because again, see that's the thing. I get SSDI plus I work, and so I haven't gotten a refund in so long that is just, you know, so I've actually had to pay. Yeah, I make so much money being a part-time cab driver that I actually owe money.
But if you're on SSDI, they've got your bank information because the Social Security Administration.
The IRS, I know that's what they were saying, that I should have gotten money in my checking account because I'm supposed to have gotten it because I get SSDI, but that is not the case. But that's what I was taught. That's what I was told, and that's what I, you know, all the information that I had gotten was the fact that if you were getting SSDI or Social Security retirement and railroad benefits and stuff like that, you were supposed to automatically have your money sent to your checking account. And I'm here to tell you that did not motherfucking happen. At least not for my happy black ass. Oh, it's because I'm black. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I don't know yet because my bank statement didn't cover the days, my normal deposit days. So my bank statement just had what came in last month. But the weird thing is about me, I have to pay taxes every year. And somehow I've screwed it up the last couple of years, and they always send me money back. I don't know what I do wrong, but anyway, they send me a check. They don't put it in, send it to my account, which seems weird to me sometimes. But it cashes.
This is the deal with the checks, folks, because I've dealt with this quite a bit with. I've researched anyway. I mean, it's my area of expertise. If the IRS has your direct deposit information, because let's say you put it on a tax return on which you get a refund and the refund's deposited into your, you know, into your, let's say, checking account or some account as to which you've got a direct deposit, then the checks are going to go to your bank account. But if you've let's say if you file paper returns and report refunds on those returns, but you don't have information to have, or you don't opt to have it deposited into your bank account, then the IRS doesn't have the information, and you actually have to go on the IRS.gov website to basically give them your bank information, so you don't have to wait 20 weeks to get your check.
It's the routing and bank number.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the ATA
number.
Years ago, they had my routing number, but now they.
Well, years ago. See, that's years ago, Sparky.
According to Susan Davis, my representative.
Okay.
If you receive any form of Social Security via the Direct Express card that they mail you when they first started using these several years ago, and they update them every 3 or 4 years to get a new card. It's like a debit card. If you receive your Social Security benefits, whatever form, on the Direct Express card, it happens automatically. In other words, the IRS.
So you don't have a bank?
No, hell, I've been out of bank since like 2003 after Bank of America, you know, bent me over and did a number on me.
Who?
I said, screw you too, motherfucker. Take back the toaster and the lovely stemware too. And
you can have that toaster when you pry it from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah. See, what happened was my deposit ran under a certain level, and they came back to my house for the toaster. So I had that fucker on his side shooting fucking toast and Pop-Tarts at him to fend them off, but they got it. So it was one of those. It was in all the papers. I'm sure you saw it. But anyway, Tracy, I sent you that link.
Yeah, about, I see it.
Yeah, the family size and what the benefit is. It's the maximum number. And I don't know how long it'll last, but look into it, definitely.
Well, you know what? At this point, because it's just, what upsets me is that I am eligible for, like, I think I put it, I don't know if I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. They made this huge announcement for L.A., for city, not county, but actual city of L.A., people that live in the city of Los Angeles. If you met certain income guidelines, which I do. Then they were going to giving you anywhere from $750 to a $1,500 debit card. And and the way they made it sound like it was just apply and you'll get this card, you know, and they had a very small window of time that you can apply for it. It was, you know, Tuesday through Thursday from, you know, and not even like 24/7. It was only from 8:30 in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon. All this, woo-woo-woo-woo-woo. And then they, you know, and when they closed the window of, you know, for the application, they're like, well, we only really have money for 10,000 people. 450,000 supply. And so then, I was one of the first people, because I heard about it before a lot of people, and I applied right away. So I'm like, okay, I should be cool. I applied, you know, as soon as they opened it. Then once they said, well, this is how they did the process. So they're like, well, too many people applied. So once we got rid of the people who didn't live in LA, we still had X amount of, you know, hundreds of thousands of stills of people that were eligible for it. But we only have money for like 10,000 people or whatever. And so we're just doing it by random. So it didn't matter when you apply. So it turned into a lottery. And of course, this bitch didn't get shit. And I'm like,
oh, God.
I'm like, you know, and I'm tired of every time, you know, from this, the Angelina card to the waiting for my unemployment. To, because I was also one of these people that were eligible for the SBA loan grants because I, you know, I'm a small business owner and all that. And all that money was gone. And it's just like, motherfuckers, you know, the everyday motherfuckers like me, we try this to, you know, I'm keep hearing the lyrics to Good Times. You know, easy rip off, you know, scratching and surviving, good times, you know, ain't we lucky we got them? Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
I am just tired of, you know, watching companies, small businesses all around me close down and motherfuckers like Ruth Chris and Shake Shack. And what was the other motherfuckers? Tender Greens, you know, these national chains that are quote unquote, you know, small businesses get, you know, millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, average people didn't get shit. Ugh.
Well, on that same note, that same page of that chapter, you got to know that, see, this is a national program. This is the agricultural department's program or whoever handles SNAP benefits. So I'm thinking, well, Trump or somebody didn't wake up one morning and say, oh, we got to help the poor folks, you know?
Oh, so God,
it's got,
no.
It's got to be something that the grocery stores lobbied for.
Of course, and Walmart.
Or Walmart, yeah. You know, but I mean, I'm happy. I was pleasant. Believe me, I was pleasantly surprised. But I had never heard word one about it. And you would think that being a recipient, that I would have gotten at least a fucking email or a press release or something. But I'll take it. I mean, I'm not proud. For a long time, I didn't even like you. I didn't even apply for them. Not that it was a minuscule amount, but I figured my needs are met by and large. I'll set this aside for somebody who needs it way worse than me, which is basically everybody at this point. But you know,
well, I've got a question coming in from our buddy Mark. Bob, could you ask Billable Rick, must your state unemployment claim be accepted and paying in order to receive the federal weekly pay of $600?
Well, yeah, I'm not really an expert there on that area, so
I am.
Yeah, okay. Well, go ahead, Tracy.
I have been researching this so much because it's directly affecting me. What was the question, Bob?
Must your state employment claim be accepted and paying in order to receive the federal weekly pay of $600?
What state is he in?
Florida.
Well, okay. Florida. This is what my research has shown. It's the fact that you must file a state income unemployment claim. Because that's the only way, even though the money is federal, you still have to file in your state. And like in my case, because I filed, but because I'm self-employed, it shows that my benefit is zero. And so I got an email the other day saying that, you ain't got no money, but if you're waiting for federal funds, that money will be coming once the federal funds are released. So you have to file with your state because you're also supposed to be able to get a state benefit as well. For example, in California, the minimum weekly benefit for somebody like me is $167 a week. That $167 a week, I'm telling you, is going basically from February 2nd to March 25th. Then from March 25th through July, from the end of March to the end of July, so you'll be getting your state benefit plus the additional $600 a week. Then from the end of July to the end of the year, because then they're giving you an extra 13 weeks because I guess typically unemployment is only 39 weeks or whatever the case may be. So then they're adding on an additional 13 weeks, and from the end of July to the end of the year, that 13 weeks will go back, resort back to only for the weekly benefit. So we're only eligible for the $600 a week in the window from March to July.
Damn, that's more complicated than the tax laws.
So I'm telling you, dude, I have been doing crazy research on this. And I've been, you know, and what I've been doing, like I said, each state that I know that I have that, you know, Horn members, family members in, I've gone to their website to read what is, you know, what you can and cannot do, who's eligible and who's not eligible and whatnot, you know, what the minimum benefits are and whatnot. So how it is supposed to work is from February. So the good news is, at least in California, the good news is, even though I have not gotten any money, the law says that the money is retroactive from the last day that you work up until when you, you know, so it doesn't matter because I filed back at the end of March, beginning of April. So apparently it does not matter how long ago, when you file, it is retroactive from the time that you lost your job or your income was reduced as of from February the 2nd. of this year. Have I completely confused you?
Well, there's another wrinkle here. If, in fact, I am correct and Mark is in Florida, then you've got to factor in the reality that that Florida deliberately fucks up its unemployment program.
Right. So, and here's the thing, but seeing that the CARE program is federal. So the $600 a week is federal. So like you said, there's that wrinkle about if they're actually going to get state benefits as well. But like I said, it's as in California, it's the $600 a week starts as of the from the end of March to the end of July.
Right. I mean, that's the window there in terms of the finances itself. But basic unemployment law, your eligibility begins the first day you don't work.
Right.
So, trying to figure out how to say this. If you did not have an open unemployment claim and then you became unemployed, the date you became unemployed is the date you become eligible within that window for the $600. Does that exactly. make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. By so the way, just a little funsy along the way here. There are some really cool hashtags trending after, and what it turns out is he had the shit show. It only lasted 20 minutes. He gave a statement and then he turned tail and ran and took no questions.
That part.
Because he has completely, even he might even realize that he's totally humiliated himself. So hashtag Trump is a laughingstock. Hashtag disinfectant Donald. Hashtag Tide Pod President.
Oh, that's great.
Love it.
Hashtag I mean, the Adderall's giving him the shit.
You know, the thing that occurs to me is, I mean, as little kids, we were all taught, you know, not to play with the Comet, not to play with the Clorox bleach, you know, not to play with all these things that he's now suggesting people like somehow ingest to like, you know, help them with the Rona. I mean, I don't get it. Well, it's like,
I'm just so dumb. But people are doing it now. Now that he mentioned it, people are now taking
exactly.
that crap.
Exactly. It's just crazy. Like that couple took, I guess they took a non-pharmaceutical stuff. Version of the hydroxychloroquine.
Right.
From their fish tank.
And the fish tank version, man yes. Died.
The man died. And he's hospitalized.
Lysol actually had to put a disclaimer out on their website.
It's today.
Human consumption. Today.
Today,
yeah.
Yeah. So wait a minute. I missed it because I have a question. So basically, because I heard about the Lysol putting a disclaimer out. Did this motherfucker really say to use disinfectant?
Okay, so that's
to ingest it or put it on your skin?
Yes.
With a needle.
He said, I don't know, maybe we could inject the disinfectant.
Oh no!
Oh, but it gets off the violet light. Oh, all you old hippies, like all you old hippies, go down in your basement or up in your attic and find that box that has your psychedelic black light. Bring it down, dust it off, and shove it up your butt. And see,
light it up, man.
Thank you, Dr. Scott.
And then turn out the lights on the dark.
Trump should change his name to Shaman Don.
Well, I tell you this much, when the nail salons reopen, there's going to be a new use for that goddamn ultraviolet nail polish dryer.
I wonder if Gwyneth Paltrow is going to get in on that action.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow, the Jade Ultraviolet Egg. They're probably already retooling a factory in China for it.
Gwyneth, are you listening?
So with Gwyneth Paltrow, because see, I'm not really up on that. I didn't really even know what Goop is because I don't pay because this shit doesn't pertain to me because I am not in their demographic. This bitch actually put out a candle says that her smells like her vagina.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
It's and incredible. It's sold. But the scary part is the shit sold out.
It sold out in a day.
Oh, no.
Good Lord.
Oh, man. Oh,
yeah, Gwyneth,
what's it called? Parfum de Toit?
But if you act now.
Gwyneth Gass.
Poutang, what?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Paul Trow Poutang.
I guess I'm wondering.
Oh, stop it.
Really quickly for all the Horn listeners that are, you know, self-employed or what have you, and are wondering stuff, the best way to figure out what you're entitled to is just to Google your state and PUA, and that's Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, PUA. So I just looked up Florida. And by the way, Floridians who struggle to file their unemployment will receive retroactive benefits. And if you have filed, if you filed and it came up as zero, don't worry. You don't have to refile. You just have to wait. And apparently it looks like for self-employed or gig workers, they are getting the minimum is $275 a week plus the $600. So shit, that's probably more than what they make on their regular jobs anyway.
Oh, and hey, just a general reminder, that crew over there at My Filthy Morning Habit finally caught up with us this morning. Well, they caught up with where we were a year or more ago when we started having the conversation. This is a quote from Mike Barnicle this morning. Well, Joe, in a rational political world of which we are not part, we're no longer a part of that. There's no longer a rational political world around us. I'll tell you what might be on their minds. The 25th Amendment. Yesterday, the President of the United States actually posed a threat to public safety, to the public safety of the citizens of this country. Those are the musings of a man who spent a lot of his lifetime in a tanning bed. He's been exposed to ultraviolet rays to make it look like he has a tan all the time. Those were the irrational rants of a man who, somewhere out there in the country, God forbid, some adherent of him, someone who follows him closely and adores him, and there are many people like that, will take a sip of Clorox bleach today to ward off the virus, and they will die.
And, oh, yeah, Bob. But the poison control calls have skyrocketed. This is for real, man.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
But today, the 24th day of April 2020, the millionaires on Morning Joe finally did what we did over a year ago and started talking about removing him via Section 4 of the 25th Amendment.
Well, better late than never. They eventually catch on, Bob.
Yeah, but once again, if you're listening to this program, you're gonna figure out things way the hell before the millionaires get to it.
You're so far ahead of the curve, Bob, that
They're all in a bubble. They don't understand what's going on with reality. I mean, if you're insulated with all that money and capital.
At every family in America, there's a precedent here. Every family in America that's got little kids under the age of 3 or 4 does something called child-proofing the cabinets. Isn't it time for the cabinet to Trump-proof the country? I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, we've got a new word courtesy of Devin. Tide POTUS. TIDEPODUS, Tide POTUS.
That's great.
Hey, I've got one here. How about hashtag bleachy bullshitter?
meanwhile, they're getting a little crazy in Florida some more. They're brawling in Miami-Dade. I don't know if Scary Jerry knows about this story. But the Rotary Club was going to do a food giveaway this weekend, or this week. They were going to give away 1,000 bags of groceries to the most impoverished neighborhood of Opa-locka. Well, Opa-locka has a church called Mount Tabor Baptist Ministries, and they do a food giveaway every week, too. So they thought they would cooperate and join forces. But then they got into a bit of a spat over how they were going to distribute the food. Well, that's when Pastor Bernice Michael decided to haul off and punch the president of the Rotary Club right smack in the face.
Oh, shit.
Pastor Bernice Michael was charged with aggravated battery on an elderly person. He made bond. And, by the way, he's also awaiting trial on an earlier domestic violence case in which he's claiming self-defense. Felipe Madrigal, 70 years old, the president of the Rotary Club of Doral, said the following. This guy's an asshole. I've been doing this for many, many years, and I've never found somebody that came to perform aggression when I'm giving stuff to needy people.
Wow.
I think it's the heat.
Well, you didn't see that shit break out during the famous loaves and fishes trick. They sat down. The kid brought them the bread and the fish. Jesus did the mojo on the goodies. And passed them out as lunch to 5,000 unexpected drop-in lunchtime guests. And afterwards, they picked up the leftovers. They recycled.
Well, what we're not told, but what I have the inside knowledge of, is that it was actually creamed pickled herring.
Oh!
Oh, God.
Was that Tracy I heard about to yak in the back?
Yeah, that was me.
With the side of mayonnaise, too.
Right? Oh,
motherfuckers, really with the mayonnaise? Go ahead and put the pimento cheese there, Bob. Come on. I know you're dying. Come on.
I was just snacking on some a little earlier.
Nasty.
Are you kidding? It makes the most awesome cheeseburger you ever ate in your life.
Yeah, I just have to take your word for it. So, by the way, for the people in Florida, their money is retroactive as of March the 9th. So if you stop working, like I said, even it doesn't matter how long when you file your return. I mean, your return, Lord Jesus. When you file your unemployment claim, the money is retroactive to the 9th. And the minimum for Floridians a week from the state is $275 plus the $600 a week from the feds. FYI.
Hey, can I say something real quick? Then I got to get out of here. Get out of my office.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Picture this.
Sicily.
I was going to say 8 years old, and you're at grandma's house. And you say to your grandma, because you've got the flu or if you got a cold, and you see grandma using bleach to kind of clean her kitchen. And she says to you, you know, it kills all the germs. And you say to your grandma, grandma, if it kills the germs, why can't I just drink some of it? And your grandma looks at you, ready to slap you in the face and say, what kind of fucking question is that? Or maybe she doesn't say that. My grandma would be like, she would laugh at me. And fast forward to yesterday, where somebody says that with seriousness from the presidential podium. And anybody in this country even thinks twice about that not being sheer idiocy.
Oh, Granny would have looked at my mother and said, Margaret, the boy ain't right.
Yeah. And there's people calling poison. At what point did drinking bleach ever even become
a question?
Anything? Yeah.
Right. I used to joke about, mention some revolting story and say, well, now I'm going to have to shower with bleach after the program. That's not funny anymore as of yesterday.
Because everyone knew you were joking.
The thing is, Bob, we knew what you meant. We knew that you weren't serious that we would bathe in bleach. But because the shit that we have listened to over the last few years is so fucking vile and so disgusting that, you're saying you got to wash yourself off with bleach just to get away, get the yuck off of you.
And that was washing with it. That wasn't drinking it.
And so earlier this week from the podium, disinfectant Donnie, Clorox Claudius, praised, he got a question from John King, and he praised him and said, "That's a very smart question, John. Where did you get a question like that? That's very smart." Because it was a question that made him look good, because, not John King, John Roberts is a toady lickspittle from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Well, today, John Roberts decided to speak again. And he declared on live TV, "You know, the concept of some way of getting ultraviolet light inside the body, the president was correct. In fact, earlier this week, a company out of Colorado announced that it is studying a new device that would embed LED lights that emit UV rays into the breathing tubes of ventilators, and that way you could actually attack the virus inside the trachea. I'm told that this research is still in its early phase. It hasn't yet been tried in patients, but it may be something to look at for the future." I just can't.
And he what? Cited the sources as Weekly World News? Is that?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
National Enquirer.
Yeah, lead engineer Robin the Bat Boy.
Oh, wait. Yeah, right. I was thinking Bat Boy.
Can I just, let me say one last thing, then I promise I'm out of here, about this UV radiation stuff. I actually did some research on this. There are three types of UV radiation that the sun emits. There's UVA, UVB, and UVC. UVA and B they're very mild. They don't kill anything. Or they can cause burns, of course, and cancer, but not near the rate. UVC is what causes cancer severely. It can burn you. And that's what hospitals and they use to disinfect. Masks, etc. And he's made the thing about, well, why can't we just like shine that on people? The problem is that is so potent that it would actually burn your skin.
Well, we say ultraviolet light, and you know, it's light. Light is a happy word. It takes on a different connotation when you say ultraviolet radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, I meant to bring up something earlier, Steve, when you were talking about the numbers and everything. You talked about being sort of defaulted to statistics and stuff like that, and I was thinking, you know, that's wonderful, because that means I don't have to, because I'm not good with deciphering.
And you know what? I can tell you this.
I'm a word guy.
I am in awe of your art of word knowing.
And I just well, this is an example of that. I wonder how many people have bothered to consider that the root word that the same root word is in pandemic as is in democracy. Demos. The people. I know Flavio knows this. But it's Greek. Both are almost direct carryovers from ancient Greek. Demokrasia, however I'm mispronouncing it, is rule by the people, or people rule. Pandemic is something that affects all pan the people, demos. Isn't it just kind of interesting?
Yeah. I was thinking more along the line.
How about pandemonium?
Democracies,
I was thinking
disease.
Pandemonium.
Same thing. All the people.
I was just thinking that it confirms democracy is a disease.
Oh,
sorry. I'm a little bit contrarian lately.
I understand. Oh, wait a minute. Jeremy's just been piling them up tonight. Bob, stop telling us how to use ultraviolet nail dryers. Or more particularly, Bob, stop telling us where to put up where to put ultraviolet nail dryers.
Do you remember a couple of months ago you gave the story of a very ill child somewhere in America whose parents administered some kind of maple syrup concoction?
That was in Far, now don't lay that off on Merca. That was in Far Canada.
Wasn't there one that actually gave their kid bleach for something?
The guy is somewhere on the West Coast, and his patients pay him $20,000, and he goes to the clinic, which is a shed he owns next to the donkey show in Tijuana, and gives autistic children bleach enemas.
Bleach enemas.
Oh, well, man. But my raising of that, whether it's Canada or Kentucky or somewhere, there is a mindset in a part of the population where they're willing to latch on to the dumbest possible thing. The thing that your grandmother never even had to warn you about because it was assumed that people weren't that stupid. We're living in a world where people are, in fact, just that fucking stupid.
It's a remake of Idiocracy we're watching in real life. You know, if you ever saw that film, it's a good film to watch.
It's a documentary now. It's a documentary. Water? Like from the toilet?
But the president's got the seal of the presidency on a gold chain around his neck, you know. Yeah. And that's Trump.
Isn't Terry Crews the president of Idiocracy?
Yes.
With his ashy ass.
Dwayne, he looks like Mr. T.
Hector Elizondo Dwayne Mountain Dew Camacho.
That's his
name.
Wow.
Well, I have
brought to you by Carl's Jr. Anyway,
because he threw Gabrielle Union under the bus. And acting like there was no racism on the show that she got fired from. He's like, really? I didn't know.
You know what would be wonderful, Tracy? If some subversive could sort of worm their way into the maggot crowd online, and you know maybe a bot or whatever, and tweet a picture of the jug of Brondo. with tag Trump in it with the claim that this is the coronavirus cure, and then he would retweet it, and it's got electrolytes, ultraviolet light, electrolytes, light is light,
lights are lights are lights.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Many different kinds of lights.
I've got
a much better one having to do with the idea of ingesting disinfectants. And folks, do not take me seriously on this one, okay? Because I only used it to get rid of gophers. But you get a bowl and you get a cup of bleach and a cup of ammonia and you put a piece of plastic over the tabletop that you're sitting at and you pour the bleach and the ammonia together in the bowl, stainless steel, because you don't want the metal crap to get into your lungs, and sit there and breathe the fumes that come off inside the tent, and it will cure COVID-19. I absolutely guarantee it. You will not die from COVID-19 if you do that.
That's absolutely true. You will not die of the coronavirus.
Right.
But what y'all were mentioning earlier, the New York Daily News had a story today. The New York City Poison Control Center got 30 calls today about exposure to bleach and other household cleaning products, and in the 18 hours after Nitwit Nero Clorox Claudius told people that maybe we could inject disinfectants.
My God, man. So. I guess I've been bragging about, you know, California, we're kind of smart out here. Yeah, well, fucking Ventura County is reopening their beaches and shit. And so now our mayors and the people in L.A. County are like, okay, motherfuckers, if you live in L.A. County, do not take your asses to Ventura County because because you know everybody's gonna start flocking up to Ventura County because they're reopening shit. And I'm like, God damn it. I mean, what is the deal? I do not understand this rush. I mean, I do understand it because, you know, money, but it's just like, aren't we just kind of beating our, you know, being stupid if we reopen too quickly? And it's just, it's going to defeat the purpose of all the stuff that we've been doing up until now to kind of, you know, curb this thing.
Well, I mean, they're looking at it down here, Tracy.
Sandra, you're going to open up the beaches down there, huh?
Mm. Tracy, I feel your pain. Yeah.
But so, here's the excuse they're giving. The surfers are saying, but dude, when we surf, it's automatic social distancing because we're apart. We each catch a different wave, dude. Well, all right. Yeah,
saltwater's cleansing.
Yeah, right.
Well, have you been to the beaches? I mean, they tell you not to go in after a heavy rain because of the runoff, the industrial shit from the street surfaces and this.
Geez, and the shit. Crap.
The shit, literally, yes. Oh, yes. Shit. I mentioned the shit. Yeah. God.
So for those non-Californians, just for your benefit, Ventura County is due north of L.A. County along the coast. So it's the next coastal county north of L.A. So it's not that far from L.A. County, especially northern parts of
like
L.A.
where
County.
Where I live.
Yeah, right.
Well, how do you get there?
It's close to the valley.
Strip 101, baby.
Yeah, and then what?
Can I say one thing?
Santa Barbara County next after that, right?
Say that again? Santa Barbara's at the Ventura, isn't it?
Yeah, it's north of Ventura County. Yeah, Ventura County, whatever. Yeah, but that's... it's a bad idea, opening up the beaches. I mean, it sends the wrong message, you know?
They're trying to... I think the justification with it, Rick, is, well, we're not going to reopen... They're not going to reopen the parking lots.
Uh-huh.
I'm like... So you don't reopen the parking lot, so that doesn't mean that people are going to be doing social distancing once they get their asses on the beach.
Well, people just park along Pacific Coast Highway if the parking lots are closed, Tracy.
I know.
That's the solution to that.
That's the,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Hold on. I got a clip for you guys. Check this out. Oh, damn it. Hold on.
Hey, I just want to say good night, y'all. I have to get out of here. So be safe and all you that too, other Steve. Kind of stuff, and take care.
I have a good
Thanks,
one.
Bye, Steve. Steve.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Steve, have a good night, my friend.
See you, Tracy. See everyone. Bye.
Okay, so I hope this was done tongue-in-cheek. This is I'm not a praying type, but it's enough to make you want to pray. Supposedly, this comes out of Jacksonville, Florida. Please, Jesus, let it be comedy. Please, sweet fake baby Jesus, let it be comedy.
The city of Jacksonville and the beaches being open, because I think there are some things that y'all just do not understand. First of all, we are not talking about Miami. Miami is where y'all got the virus, because down there in Miami, you got all them Mexicans and they're drinking all that Corona beer. We do not drink Corona beer here in the city of Jacksonville. We drink Natural Light. Why do we drink Natural Light? Because it's natural and because it's light. And we don't drink it in them fancy bottles. We drink it in aluminum cans. And aluminum cans cannot have the coronavirus because they are not glass. They are aluminum. So that's number one. And number two, y'all don't realize that down here in Jacksonville, it is hot. I don't mean hot like they're in Minnesota or wherever where y'all think 70 degrees is hot. It's hot like 95 degrees all the time. And the virus cannot live when it is that hot. So that's number two. And we knew that we were going to have to be out in the hot. That's why we bought all that TP, because see, we are some big people here in Jacksonville because we know how to eat right. So you got to take that TP and you got to put it down in them places where you get all sweaty, just to kind of keep everything tight. You know what I mean? So that's jokes on you. That's what all the toilet paper's for. And most importantly, what we got here in the beaches is we got salt. And if you know anything, you know that salt makes everything better. Think about it. Bacon, grits, black-eyed peas, boiled peanuts, what they all got in common? They got salt. Salt fixes everything. So you come out here in that hot and you drink in your natural light and you in that salt water, you can't get the virus. So we shouldn't have never had our beaches closed in the first place. So y'all can say everything you want about Florida, but just keep in mind when you say those things, you are not talking about Jacksonville. You are talking about Miami, where they got all the Mexicans drinking that glass imported Corona beer. Here in Jacksonville, we know what we're doing. We're going to be just fine, so you don't need to worry about us.
Hell, she should run for elective office in Jacksonville.
You understand what I'm saying, though?
That has to be paired.
Yeah, please, Jesus, don't let that be a real American citizen.
That's not a satire. It's not nothing satirical about that. That's not like Beverly Hillbillies, you know. It's for real.
Somewhere
paid for sure. By the Jacksonville Visitors Bureau.
Yeah. Where the Miami is their motto.
And somewhere not sure is weeping.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't see this is why it absolutely pains me. Because I can't with these people. I think this is why I have been so down, because I can't. I turn on the news when I do watch the news, the idiot, idiot at large is talking, and I just like, holy fucking Christ, this motherfucker can still get reelected because people are just that stupid, or that people just aren't going to go out and vote, and I'm just like, I'm absolutely terrified.
But it's
what's going to happen in November.
It's amazing these people exist and they breed. That's what gets me.
Yes, it's like, how are you alive? How are you?
There's your key, Scott.
That's like the old blonde joke. Where the blonde is walking around, no gender attaches to this, okay? There's no gender involved, but there's this blonde. And the blonde is always seen wearing a pair of headphones, listening to a device. The blonde is never seen without the headphones. And so one day, somebody walks up to the blonde and removes the headphones. And the blonde immediately dies. And so the person who took out the headphones feels terrible and puts the headphones on to find out what it was. And it was just a loop recording saying, breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out.
Oh, man.
Of course, my favorite blonde joke in the world is the blonde driving down the road sees another blonde out in the middle of a cornfield. But it's just springtime, and it's not even come up yet. The ground's just plowed. And the blonde is in a canoe. And the blonde that stops by the side of the road gets out and yells, "You idiot! What are you doing out there in the middle of a field in a canoe?" And the blonde in the canoe in the middle of the field says, "Hey, you can kiss my ass." And the blonde at the side of the road says, "By God, if I could swim, I'd come out and kick your ass."
Well, that Jacksonville lady, she's definitely a future Darwin Award winner. I don't think there's any question.
Oh, and I've got a cowbell for Glenn in San Diego. COVID don't surf, dude.
Salt goes really good with Corona beer.
Yeah, it does, and a lime. Isn't that an Apocalypse Now reference? If I say it's safe to surf, it's safe to surf. You want to fight or you want to surf? Charlie don't surf.
That's deep. That's definitely a couple of layers down there, that cowbell.
Shorty says, did they move Florida west? We got some of that hot, too. And then we got salt water called the Pacific, and we got hot two blondes run into a building in downtown L.A. Shorty says, you think they would have seen that building? Two blondes run into a building. You'd think they would have seen the building.
There you go.
Horse walks into a bar, orders a martini. Bartenders thinks the horse is stupid. Remember, we had a reminder from Flavio earlier that horses are gentle and intelligent creatures. Horse orders a martini. The bartender thinks, oh, this horse is going to be stupid. I'm going to clip him. And says, that'll be $1,000. Horse pays the $1,000 for his martini. A little bit later, the bartender comes over, sees if he wants another one, says, you know, we don't get too many horses in this bar. And the horse looks at him and says, at $1,000 a martini, I'm not surprised.
But hey, going back to Moscow Mitch for a second, what does everybody think? Is there going to be another round of stimulus? And if so, is he going to hold hostage the states? You know, he wants the states to declare bankruptcy. Or do you think he's just flat out done? You think he's done with the signing any stimulus anymore?
Well, the first injection of $1,200, he didn't want to do, if memory serves.
Yeah, but his cronies got a big pile of slush fund of $500 billion, right?
You know, the Brother Deacon Asa gave us a breakdown of that a few minutes ago. Of the $2,000 billion allocated in the first round, $603.7 billion is earmarked for individuals and $179.5 billion for public services. This means that $1,216.8 billion is sitting out there for the grifters and the jackals to carve up amongst themselves. Makes the $700 billion in TARP money of some 12 years ago seem plumb quaint. Man, we're so horrifyingly in the wrong business.
Well, the TARP money is couch cushion money by comparison.
Yeah, that's what my grandmother used to call pen money.
Well, I'd like to know what the deficit now is after all this. Is it $26 trillion now, $27 trillion? It used to be $22 trillion. So,
in the nosebleed section, there's no way to count it. They can't run the digits fast enough. There used to be a deficit clock or some shit.
New York City.
Times Square.
Times Square.
And they kept having to add
digits. I think it's down near Cooper Union.
Yeah. They had to add digits to the display,
right.
And they finally said, oh, fuck it. You know, the sign guy shot himself. He was so distraught over
by the way, we're off and running now. Subject line, David in South Carolina stand, jumper cables. Two jumper cables walk into a bar. Bartender yells, don't start anything!
No!
That hurt.
Question. Has anybody here besides me and Bob seen The Color Purple? The movie The Color Purple?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I have. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so I got one. I posted it in the chat. It says, my stimulus check must be tied up with those letters Mr. Hid from Sealy.
I love that.
Can I risk a TV viewing tip, Bob? And I hope Steve and Georgia Stan is still here. Because he dared me to do this. I think he kind of dared me. The other day, and it's for 30 days only, for free, on YouTube, is Michael Moore's latest movie, Planet of the Humans. You've heard of Planet of the Apes. Well, this is Planet of the Humans. And it's free on YouTube for another 26 or 27 days. If you're looking for something to cheer you up, this is not the film for you.
It's really devastating.
It's got a good score, though. The music's awesome.
Yeah, you'll leave the theater humming the music. But then again, think about it. Bowling for Columbine, the one that he did on the medical situation in the country, Sicko. The one Roger and Me. he's always delivered in terms of spelling out the situation, doing it in an informative, entertaining way, and you leave the theater committed to hopefully do something. Well, he has reached the point, and he executive produced this. He did not direct it, but one of his team members directed it. Gibbs, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, man, this is the end all, literally the end all Michael Moore movie, and it's still worth watching, yeah, in my estimation. Steve, feel free to jump in and bail me out.
Oh, absolutely. The point that it makes is just, it's devastating. I mean, now may not be the time with all the crap we're dealing with, but awesome movie. Awesome.
Just if nothing else, it gives you a framework and a context, because this virus and the pandemic and the mass panic and the spinning wheel of death, what does the NRA have, Bob? The roulette wheel of death.
The NRA roulette wheel of death, yes.
Yeah, well, this is the pandemic roulette wheel of death. And I wanted to ask Steve of New York what the death rate is. It's nationally, the last time I checked, it was running about 5.5% of those who are confirmed cases don't come out of it alive. And whether they test everybody in New York.
Seems high.
Well, that sounds high. Steve went into all of that earlier in the program at the beginning.
That's right,
And so the numbers he was running were showing closer to, you know, between 1% and 2%. I saw that Jenny in Wisconsin just jumped into the conversation. Hey, Jenny.
Hello, can you hear me?
You're a little hot. You're a little overmodulated.
I can't hear anything. It's super quiet. I'll try again.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jenny, because Jenny just jumped in on the Finish the Month Refrigerator Fund. Thank you so much, Jenny. I appreciate it. We all do.
I have a couple of quick viewing tips for, you know, on the ethnic side of things. So on Netflix, you have, has anybody watched Gentrified? And not gentrified, but gentrified. It's about a family that in East LA who is being, you know, forced out of their business because, you know, gentrification is hilarious. There's also, the jury's still out on hashtag black as fuck. It has its moments, but I'm still going to give it a chance because it's black people. So, you know, and Self-Made, the story about Madam C.J. Walker. That's a good one as well. I really Octavia Spencer is amazing in it as C.J. Walker. So, and then Little Fires Everywhere. That's on Hulu with Kerry Washington.
I've heard about that one.
Man. And see, it's perfect for you, Bob, because all 8 episodes have already had. Wednesday was the series finale.
Me no Hulu.
I can fix that for you. But if you, you know, for those of you who have Hulu, I was just like, what? It is definitely one of those things. It's set in the 90s and it's basically about, you know, race and class and just Reese Witherspoon. I have never wanted to kill a bitch so bad in my life. I mean, I wanted to snatch a bitch. It's like, well, goddamn. I'm just like, oh, my God. But yeah, no, I admit it. I finished watching Tiger King. I did it. I
can proudly say I have still not watched a second of it.
But no desire.
I had to
watch. I watched the first episode and said, fuck it.
It's an anthropological study of Trump supporters and white people gone wild. It's just because, you know, I love watching shit when white people are just stupid.
stupid rich white people.
No, they're not rich.
Oh, I did see a story hit the wires the other day that the Tiger King's either hubby or boyfriend has been deemed hot, and he is now being inundated with dick pics.
Wait, the one with no teeth?
No, he got his teeth fixed, Tracy. He made enough money. Yeah, he's got teeth.
If you don't have no teeth, it's scratch or what?
He got them fixed.
Oh, he got them. Oh, that's right. He did get them fixed.
Yeah, he made enough money from Tiger King. Yeah, he got a whole new set of choppers.
No teethus. If he's got a flat head, he's a dreamboat. Follow up. Work with the comedy. Why the flat head, Bob? Somebody.
Why the flat head?
Nobody. Beer. So you got to have somewhere beer. To set your beer.
There you go.
Stop it. That's terrible, man. Yeah, he's got the mullet look, you know, which is the landscaper attribute.
Well, we're gonna have to open the door to your
mystery date.
Oh my God!
I remember
mystery
that
mystery date.
Oh my God!
Will he be a dream or a dud?
Now that we're off COVID-19, I would like to bring up to Bob that it's not at all safe for long-term storage of food in a freezer compartment of a regular refrigerator because the freezer compartment doesn't get cold enough for the long-term storage.
No, we'll go with it.
So if you're short-term storage, freezer compartment's great, but long-term, you want to have a dedicated freezer that you can keep at 30 degrees or lower.
Right.
Zero degrees or lower.
Yeah, and a chest is better at that than an upright.
Makes sense.
Depending on how often you open it.
Yeah.
If you have an upright and you only open it like once a week, you're easier to find your food in an upright than lose it for a long term period of time in a chest freezer. But if you're looking for straight energy efficiency and the quote best freezer, a chest will work. But people have found that they lose stuff in the bottom of a chest freezer more frequently, and not that the food goes bad, but you don't manage to rotate your food as frequently, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so we got to wrap up here. But I want to before I do end things, I want to share a note that came in a while back, about an hour ago, from Lady B. And I don't think this qualifies as an argument or a fight it is our ability to disagree amiably amongst our community. Darlene took umbrage to the knee pads matching scarf comment about Dr. Burks, and being another female member of the community, I understood that coming from Darlene, and her points were well made. Lady B, however, has an opposing viewpoint. And I'm going to share that because I think she makes valid points too. Lady V says, go ahead and make fun of that woman, because by volunteering to go out and stand alongside our sociopathic president and not challenge him on a goddamn thing, that makes her almost as bad as he is. She might as well be wearing knee pads. Fuck her. I get it, says Lady B. As a woman, we have shade thrown at us all day, every day. I haven't been around a group of men yet where the talk didn't devolve into something sexual or crude. I guess that's just due to my social standing. It's always been that way. If you can't run with the big dog, stay on the porch. I learned that in radio. That is definitely a man's world, and you put up with a lot of shit, but you get through it. It makes you better prepared to deal with the bullshit. And not all men are like this, and no, it doesn't excuse their behavior. But when certain things are said about certain people, there might be a little bit of truth to it. So yes, the doctor is educated, well-groomed, and is the epitome of success. She is a medical doctor, and she works for the White House. She also very much exemplifies what we black people think of when we call certain white women Karen. Editor's note, I have shifted that to Kaylee in dishonor of Kaylee McEnany, the White House spokes creep. She's a Karen. Just because you don't see her demanding to talk to the manager doesn't mean that she doesn't. Karens are white women who stand by evil, aggressive husbands and fathers. They are raised and trained to say and do evil things. They go in the store and mistreat people underneath them. And they don't care about what happens to you or anybody else as long as their family is safe. Dr. Burks is a Karen, or whatever Bob says it is, Kaylee. But that was the joke. The joke wasn't meant to be about women actually named Karen, but for some reason it just seems to fit. It just seems to fit too well. But she's still just about as evil as Trump is. Again, that doesn't mean that a man can make fun of the average woman. They should be more careful with their words. But if Bob can't say it, I will. That woman is wearing knee pads. She is an absolute disgrace to womanhood. Our compassion, our empathy, and everything we represent and strive for. And she is helping to kill us all. So again, fuck her, enough said. But not quite enough. Is it wrong to say, Lady B asks? I hope that that hateful bitch comes to her senses soon. Unfortunately, I think her catching the virus will be the one to do it. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. We should tell her that happens every time she washes her hair. So, two mostly diametrically opposed opinions, and the bottom line is something that I saw that Ralps sent along a few minutes ago from Democratic Underground. Aaron Rupar tweeted it when he made his let's inject disinfectant comment, and she was sitting there by the wall with a shadow passing over her face. Well, she eventually got around to defending him, and she said, Trump is so attentive, and the name of the post is Dr. Burks Defends Trump. She is not a victim, but an accomplice. She declared on CBN, that should tell you something, you know, Pat Robertson, CBN. She declared, he's so attentive to the scientific literature and the details and the data. I think his ability to analyze and integrate data that comes out of his long history in business has really been a real benefit. When he gets new information, he likes to talk that through out loud. I think he just saw the information at the time immediately before the press conference, and he was still digesting. That does not speak well of Dr. Burks.
No, it doesn't. Not a bit.
And whatever
credibility... Mangala with a scarf.
He doesn't digest data.
The only thing he digests is fucking Big Macs and fries. Exactly. And the occasion... And the occasional Cinco de Mayo taco bowl. Goddamn. And Irish Dave says, I would assert knee pads as gender neutral. It could apply to Mikey Pompas, for example, who graduated first in his class at West Point. So that's the program for this evening. Thanks, everybody. The thing just rushed right by. Man, we flew by. And depending on how things turn out, you know, maybe we'll have more than one more. It'd be nice to have four more days of fundraising free radio. Maybe we'll get there. We are down about $600 now, so that's huge. Glenn in San Diego says, combine Planet of the Humans and last week's Frontline episode on recycling, and you'll surely be ready for that Mar-a-Lago Mai Tai. Wait, Mar-a-Lago Mai Tai? A little bleach and Lysol on the rocks? Yeah. Mai Tai. James in Illinois says, still digesting? Is he a cow? Well, he's full of bull. I mean, we got that. So, Anyway, thanks for a wonderful conversation this evening. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this long-running conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thanks to Sparky and the old holler tree around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay safe, stay home, wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear a mask because you respect and care about others. Have a wonderful weekend. Back for more on Monday, and I'm sure we'll be stacked right up. Later, y'all.